Hello and welcome to another jam-packed episode of My Favorite Conservative. I'm Edward.
And I am Andrea, but I am not conservative.
Wait, you're not?
Nope, but he is my favorite conservative.
Aw, thank you.
Wow. I think the world knows that by now. But so we are going to start each show from now until the election. This is season 3, March to the election, with the latest polling. So let's get to it. In the Real Clear Politics national average, Trump versus Biden, we always start with that one. Last week, Trump was up 1.2. He is still up, but now it's only 0.9. And both of those are definitely within the margin of error.
Yeah. And again, this is unfortunately not a national election, right? It comes down to just a few states.
Yes.
But as a matter of fact, those are battleground states.
Let's talk about them.
Okay. Let's look where Trump was last week, where he is this week.
Right.
Let's start with Pennsylvania.
Okay. Very crucial.
Indeed. Last week, Trump was up 1.8. He is now up 2.
All right. Okay. So it's going the right direction.
For him. Yes, it is.
For him, it is.
In the battleground state of North Carolina, Trump last week was up 5.4. That's a push. He's still up 5.4.
Okay.
In the last time with the important race of Georgia, that was crucial.
Yeah.
Trump was last week up 3.8. He is now up 4.6. I think that's a big move.
Yeah, I think that's a good jump. Yep.
Yeah. Michigan. Last week, former President Trump was up 1.2. He is now up 0.8.
That's so a decline.
A little bit of a drop there. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. And of course, you know, I like Wisconsin, right? Last week, Trump was up 0.5. This week, he's up 0.6. Again, that's probably only 10 people.
Yeah, right.
Said that. Let's go out west to Nevada, where last week, Trump was up 4.5. This week, he's up 6.2.
That's significant.
That's a big move. Yeah. I think the border down there is just causing these numbers to start going his direction very strongly.
In Nevada? Not technically a border state.
No, but it's right there.
Okay. All right.
It's not like they don't just walk right through Arizona.
Keep going.
Let's go to Arizona, border state. Last week, Trump was up 5.5, or excuse me, up 5. He is now up 5.2. So a little bit of a bump there.
Yeah. So these are the Real Clear Politics averages for battleground states. And one of the things that we found curious was that we kept hearing from other podcasts we listen to, you know, shout out to Megyn Kelly and Dave Rubin and so many others, is that the Trump was up so much in battleground states, and we wanted to figure out why. And Edward found the New York Times poll. I think we could agree that the New York Times is not a conservative publication.
I would second that. Yes.
So it's very, very interesting. So we're going to go through the battleground states again, but this time we're going to give you this week's Real Clear Politics, and then we're going to give you what the New York Times said. And it's very interesting that the difference, again, Real Clear Politics is an average of all the polls, no matter where they originate from, but, the New York Times is a pretty liberal publication.
Yeah, it's actually the New York Times Siena College poll.
Okay.
They work with the Siena College to do that. So let's do the same order we did last
time. Same order. So let's start with Pennsylvania. Tell us what the average is, and then tell us what the New York Times said.
Yeah, so the Real RCP, the Real Clear Politics poll, has Trump up 2. Mm-hmm. In the New York Times Siena poll, he's up 3. So 1 point difference there.
Okay. I'll take the next one because it's pretty funny. They didn't even bother with North Carolina. Didn't even bother. So they're not considering it a battleground state anymore. Take us over to Georgia.
This is the crazy, big, surprising one. So in the Real RCP, I'm just going to say that.
That's fine.
In Georgia, Trump is up 4.6. In the New York Times poll, he is up 10.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a 5.4 difference. So more than twice what the RCP has them. So
that's so strange. It's so bizarre.
Yeah. That's why we kind of like the Real Clear Politics, because they average everything out.
Yeah.
You'll get these outliers. But again, the New York Times is doesn't intentionally favor Donald Trump.
No, not at all. I'm going to take the next one because yeah. we do think Michigan's going to be the deal breaker. We've said that from the beginning. So according to RCP, Trump is up 0.8. That's a slight drop if you remember from last week. But the New York Times says he's up 7.
Yeah.
7 in
That's
Michigan.
That's even a bigger differential than Georgia was.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. This is crazy.
Yeah, that is not a battleground state if you're up 7.
I know. So just to recap here, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Michigan, the New York Times poll has Trump way up, and they're not even paying attention to North Carolina. Take us over to Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, it's actually a little surprising here. In the RCP poll, he is up.
Trump
is up, I'm sorry, 0.6. In the New York Times, Biden is up 2.
Now, you think you know the reason for that, though, right? Didn't Biden just visit Wisconsin?
Biden and Harris, yeah, we're actually going to talk about that a little bit later in the show.
Okay.
And they're trying to buy votes in Wisconsin, and right now it seems like it's working.
I don't think Trump's going to get Wisconsin, but that's just my 2 cents. All right, Nevada, so we just said the RCP average, Trump is up 6.2. That's an increase, slight increase from last week. New York Times says he's up 12. 12! Yeah. This is crazy.
Yeah, and again, let's stay out west, Arizona. Mm-hmm. Trump is up on the RCP poll at up 5.2. He is up 7 points in the New York Times poll. So
this has got to be scaring the absolute shit out of the DNC.
Well, yeah,
I would think
you can't lose 6 of the 7 battleground states. If you only win Wisconsin, you're getting it. It's a landslide.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, what's interesting, I was actually looking into the Electoral College and things because everybody's talking about Trump's VP and all kinds of stuff. And I actually found something that was kind of interesting last week. And they always keep talking about Trump picking like a Byron Donalds, who's a congressman from Florida, or Marco Rubio, who's a senator from Florida.
And explain what the problem is.
The problem is the 12th Amendment, I believe it is, to the Constitution the president and vice president cannot be from the same state.
Right.
However, they can be from the same state. But the caveat is if they are from the same state, they do not get those electoral votes for them.
So they just forgo them.
So they would, yeah. And Florida has, 29 electoral votes or
Florida
something
Florida's
too like
critical.
That. Yeah. So, you know, unless Trump moves or whatever, you're not going to see anybody from Florida on the ticket with him.
I don't think you're going to see anybody from Florida.
But, you know, what you talked about Wisconsin earlier, you didn't think Trump was going to win that. And I was doing some research this week. It brought me back to last summer and the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Okay.
And what I'm concerned about in this election is last minute lawsuits filed by the Democrats trying to make it easier to cheat.
Okay.
If we be plain and simple about it. And in the summer of last year, there was a vacant seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and it is voted for by the voters. It's not governor appointed.
Okay.
The Democrats spent $30 million to secure this seat, to win this seat, which flipped the Supreme Court in Wisconsin from conservative to liberal.
Okay.
And that is going to be a huge play down the road here.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. What is our main topic for today? So what do we have in store for our listeners?
Oh, I tell you, this is a goodie. This might even be what I call a humdinger.
Well, this is a little bit of a departure from our season 3 theme. Edward overrode me on this because I want to stick to topics that I feel like are going to affect the election. But there was some big news this week that was kind of hard to ignore.
Yeah, I was shocked this week to see that President Biden has agreed to debate former President Trump. I was shocked.
Yeah, I was a little shocked too. Like, I was like, really? Are you sure?
Yeah, and on the face of it, you go, okay, whatever. But there are a lot of storylines to this one. And it just, the more you get into it, the deeper it goes. Let me
set it up for the listeners.
Do.
So they've agreed to 2 debates. June 27th, we've already marked it on our calendar, a CNN debate hosted by Jake Tapper and Dana Bash in Atlanta. And then September 10th, ABC, probably hosted by George Stephanopoulos. What's really interesting is this is pretty early
pretty early.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I kind of like early, but I know we have a whole script here, but before we get into the we have a theory about the first one, the June 27th, or you have a theory.
Okay.
You don't remember your theory?
Well, on why?
Yeah,
why Biden agreed to the debate?
No. Or
why it's so early?
Why the first one's so early?
Well,
you want to see if the DNC,
if he can handle it. If Biden face plants right on stage
before the
convention, is it enough time to slip somebody else in there?
I think you're right. I think that's why they agreed to the early one.
Well, but the problem is, again, we go back to that, is if you try to slip somebody in there, it's got to be Kamala, right? You cannot go, hey, you know, Vice President, forget about it.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But let's go back to, sorry, that was a digression. Okay. So why did Biden agree to debate?
It's interesting because, I mean, everybody can see, even if you are a complete Joe Biden supporter, that his mental capacity is diminished.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no question about that. So why would you put somebody up on stage? And to me, it's because he realizes he's losing. The loser always wants to debate, right?
Yeah. We have some history coming up on that.
How about this? Let's just look back to the Republican primaries, right?
Okay.
Trump never showed up.
Yeah.
No debate.
Yeah,
he was ahead. I don't need to, he said.
Yeah.
And the same thing. It's like, you know, when you're behind, you want to debate because that's your best chance of embarrassing the other person, making yourself look good, whatever. So, yeah.
Yes. And he did say in that super weird interview, President Biden said to Howard Stern, when asked if he would debate Donald Trump, and Biden said he would. Now, did he paint himself into a corner and have no alternative? I don't think so. I don't really think that that's the reason. I mean, I think it's what you said. He's losing, and he's losing in battleground states.
Yes and no. Yeah, I agree with that. Let me just state with this. Now, first off, for anybody out there who wants to see the biggest suck-up interview ever, watch the Howard Stern.
It's kind of sad,
Joe
actually.
Biden interview. Howard Stern's nose is so far up Biden's ass. It is, you know, and remember Howard Stern used to be so cutting edge and everything.
No, he's not anymore.
He is an absolute
puss,
shall we say.
Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, Biden has a habit when being asked by interviewers, reporters, whatever, to try to answer the question before it even gets out of the reporter's mouth. And he's done that numerous times, and they've had to walk back. The White House has had to walk back his answers.
Right.
And I think when he, you know, oh, yeah, I'll debate him, they had to be just like almost committing Harry Caray at the White House.
But I don't think that that's the reason they agreed to do it.
Well, I think once Biden said, yeah, I'll debate him. And Trump, like 10 minutes later, came out with a tweet that said anytime, any place, anywhere.
Right.
Done.
Yeah.
So you said you'll debate. The guy immediately says, I'll do it. And now you've painted yourself into a corner.
Yeah.
On that one. Yeah.
So what is interesting about this, though, is they are not going through the Commission on Presidential Debates, the CPB.
Although
I'm not gonna be able to say that fast. So there is a Commission on Presidential Debates that would normally do this, and of course would not put the first one in June. And why are they not going through the normal channels, do you think?
Well, the CPB was actually founded in 1988 to get some normalcy to the debates, that you'd have so many debates, you know, per year. And it's been so almost 40 years now, and all of a sudden they decide not to do it. So it was funny because, did you want to read the quote from the Biden campaign chair?
Sure. Her name is Jen O'Malley Dillon, and she said the campaign proposed an altered schedule because the original dates are. So is this what she said to the commission or whatever?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. This is her press release.
Oh, okay.
No, this is actually her letter to the CPB.
Okay. So the original dates are out of step with changes in the structure of our elections and the interest of voters, pointing to the timeline of early voting. Okay. That doesn't make any sense to me, because you would think you'd want, anyway, yeah, whatever. Okay. The way the commission has built debates as an entertainment spectacle. Yeah.
Something to be said about that.
Yeah,
yes,
that's true.
Agree.
And the commission being unable or unwilling to enforce rules in 2020 debates. Now, what did she mean about that? Unable or unwilling to, what rules?
I think that was where, where, especially the first debate, Trump-Biden debate, where Trump kept interrupting Biden constantly. And he did.
No question, yeah, it was bad.
To his detriment.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Not the Biden's detriment, the Trump's, but yeah. We'll get into that later. But.
Yes. So you did a dive on debates.
Yeah, you know, we wanted to look back a little bit. And the first televised debate, if you're everybody recalls, was John F. Kennedy and Richard Nixon in 1960. And it did occur in a TV studio with no audience. There was no such thing as an audience back then.
Can I say the next part?
You may.
It's fascinating. So, and I went back and looked. It seems like the videos that are out there now have been cleaned up just a little bit. But basically, people watching the debates on television thought Kennedy won because Nixon was sweating profusely. Now, again, I went back and watched the videos, and you can't really see it like you could in previous footage. So someone cleaned it up. But if people were listening on the radio, which prior to this debate, people listened to debates on the radio, people thought Nixon won because they didn't like Kennedy's accent. And that he was Catholic and the other things working against him. So it's really, really interesting how that changed the dynamic.
Yeah, on the visuals, you know, Kennedy wore makeup. Yes. Nixon did not. Nixon perpetually has a 5 o'clock shadow, which nowadays is kind of cool, right? A lot of guys.
Yeah, but back then,
it was not cool. Yes, you looked a little disheveled and tired or whatever. So
they did four debates. I wanted to point that out. Like, you can find us on YouTube. It's fascinating. They did four debates.
Yeah.
And now after that first one, I think Nixon did put makeup on so he wouldn't look as bad as he did in the past.
Yeah. Well, I thought what was interesting is, you know, so you had the debate in the 1960 campaign. But there wasn't another debate until 1976,
that
election. And from then on, after that, it took place in front of live audiences. But they were instructed, do not clap.
Good luck with that.
You know, they used to not clap and things like that.
Right, people used to be a little more civilized, I guess.
Used to be a little bit, yeah. But according to Alan Schroeder, professor emeritus of journalism, Northeastern University, he says in 1976, the president was Gerald Ford. He had come into office because of Nixon's resignation, so he was in a weak position. He's the one that actually challenged Jimmy Carter to debates, and that set in place this tradition that's existed ever since. Ford, you know, wasn't elected, right? He got thrust into it when Nixon resigned, and he wasn't even elected vice president.
No, he wasn't.
Spiro Agnew, who was Nixon's vice president, had to leave office because of his own troubles. So,
it's kind of like, who does not have any problems? Ford, you're the guy.
And so he finds himself, he's trailing Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was a pretty much unknown Georgia governor.
But likable.
But likable, yes. Had very, yes. Jimmy.
Yes, okay.
And so Ford says, crap, I'm behind. I've got to challenge him to a debate. So that's kind of what we're seeing now. The president's behind.
But by bypassing the CPB, I have to say it slowly, guys, Biden gets to set the rules.
Well, he doesn't get to set. He said, I'll debate, but these are the rules. And Trump, I think, stupidly said, okay, you know, immediately.
Well, like you said, Trump had already tweeted that he would do it anytime, any place.
I think there'll be a lot more negotiations on the rules here before we're done.
Let's talk about the rules that we're aware of right now. Yeah. And we see you watching live. And if you're not afraid to comment in real time, please feel free to comment.
Absolutely.
We will share your comment on the screen. So what are the rules with the first debate?
Well, there will be no studio audience. So we're going back to 1960.
Okay. All right.
I guess the question is,
why not?
Why not? Right.
Yeah.
I
think that's going to hurt Trump in a sense that he thrives on a live audience and he really, really does.
Yeah.
But why else do you think?
Well, I think that they're afraid that Biden will have a freeze moment. Right.
Oh, and they don't want it seen in a studio audience?
You don't want witnesses out there. And trust me, the first one's on CNN.
Right.
Not friendly to Trump at all.
Right, I agree.
If Biden starts to freeze or whatever, I guarantee you they will cut to Trump. They will cut away from him.
Gosh.
They will manipulate this. So I'm hoping that, like, Trump's people that are there will have their cell phones recording everything.
Yeah.
You know, also during the commercial breaks, right? Do they go out and give Joe, you know, something to keep his pep up or whatever, or if he's having, you know, starting we to wander around the stage.
Yeah.
And I think it helps Biden a lot. And I think it hurts Trump a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really and do. The Biden campaign also wants the mic muted when the opponent is speaking. And here's how I feel about that. That suppresses real debate. However, I think it's different with two people, because when you have a lot of people on stage, I got frustrated during the GOP primary debates because someone was given a minute and 30 seconds to respond and they would go over. And it's like, nope, that's when your mic should be cut. Like if you're given enough time to respond, then cut the mic. But you do want a real back and forth.
You do. You know, this is both a blessing and a curse for Trump.
Yeah, it is.
Because, you know, going back to that first debate that they had in 2020, where Trump just constantly interrupted.
He was a dick.
But the key for people to see was Biden couldn't answer a question in length.
No, he couldn't have. And if Trump
kept interrupting him.
I know.
Just like I did you.
Yes.
See the way I did it. <Yeah. laughs>
Yes, but we were yelling at the TV, like, let Biden talk.
Yeah, shut up.
Because he's going to talk himself off a ledge. So let him just talk. And I mean, again, I wasn't even a Trump supporter, but I wasn't a Biden supporter either. So let's go to the next part.
Well, hang on. Before we get past that one,
okay.
I think also if they mute the other person's mic, and especially when they mute Trump, and they ask Biden a question, and he gives some ridiculous answer like inflation was 9% when I came into office, and CNN decides not to challenge them and then moves on to the next question, Trump doesn't have a chance at all to say you're lying.
I'm just going to say for the record, I could be wrong. That's not going to fly. The mics being muted will not fly. It's never freaking happened before.
Laying down a marker. Right
I'm
here.
Laying it down. Okay. Yeah. I'm just saying it's not going to happen like that. The no studio audience, they'll keep that and everything. But that's not going to happen. Why so early?
Well, I mean, I can understand a little bit because we now have voting season instead of voting day.
But
right?
This is the earliest presidential debate in history, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No question.
I mean, I'm
that.
Glad because it works out in our schedule.
Yeah, it does.
I'm not out of town. You're not out of town. I'm kind of glad, but.
Yeah. And again, like we mentioned earlier, if Biden completely screws the pooch, they either won't have another one or they'll figure out something. I mean,
it gives the DNC time to replace him. It really does.
I mean, Biden's appearances now are always very small events.
Yeah.
They are, you know, very well scripted.
Mm-hmm.
In a debate, you know, you can't script it.
Well, and I want to just point out these other two bullet points. This first debate is before either convention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, neither one of these people are officially the candidates of their party.
They're not.
Right.
Not
so
officially.
We're having this, you know, if you were a lawyer, you know, it would be you could have some stipulations.
I think
there.
This is a test for Biden and for the DNC to decide to replace him. If he can get through this debate and hold his own against Trump, then they'll leave him in.
Well, I think another thing that's one of them. Yeah. But also, it's so early. The American people do not have a long memory.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And
yeah.
If Biden gets his clock cleaned, do you think that the massive media that always tilts, you know, 99% tilt toward Biden of all the major networks and everything else, do you think they're going to constantly harp on it?
No,
of course not. Will Saturday Night Live make fun of it? No.
We'll do our best to every week to bring you the real story. What about the third party candidate, RFK Jr., right? RFK Jr. Oh, yeah.
RFK Jr.
Yeah. What does Megyn Kelly always say?
RFKJ.
RFKJ. Yes. Yeah, that's easier, I guess. But anyway, so.
It's like LGBTQ.
Is he going to be allowed to debate the way Ross Perot was in 1992?
That's no.
That's a no?
No. No.
Why is that?
Well, let's see. Remember, Biden's making the rules up now, right?
Oh, that's right.
So what the rules that they have put in place, the Biden campaign, is that a third party candidate, without naming names, because there is, Marianne, Cornell West is running. Jill Stein is running again.
So
that
continue
a
with
third
the
party candidate needs to be on enough state ballots that would equal 270 electoral votes. 270 is what you need to win
right.
by June 20th, which is
in a month.
In a month, yes.
1 month.
But the candidate must also have a 15% national polling average from March to June.
And RFK which
we've already passed March and April, right?
So RFKJ doesn't have that.
He doesn't have a shot of getting it. There's no way the Democrats want to allow him on stage. It would hurt Democrats. I guarantee it will help Trump because, first off, you know, RFK Jr. sounds like a male Katharine Hepburn.
He does have a speech issue that developed in his 40s. Yeah,
so it's not presentable for television. So there's going to be a lot of young people that may have never heard him before, but they just think he's cool because he's a Kennedy and he's, you know, third party and all this crap. But when you get into his policies and everything else, he is way left wing.
No question about the climate,
you name it.
Yeah.
That it's only going to help Trump. It's only going to hurt Biden. So is there no way in heck, that they're going to allow him on stage?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Since you said, you mentioned Trump, why did Trump agree? Besides the fact that he already put it out there that he would do it, why did he agree?
Well, he's never afraid of Joe Biden debating, right? You're the tallest midget. Right. You know, it's not a high bar.
Okay.
Sorry to our little people out there.
And he likes to play to a crowd, although there might not be a live audience.
He loves a crowd, but he'll still get an audience of millions of people.
Will.
So he will play to that. But here's a big variable here.
Yes.
What if he's a convicted felon before the debate? Is there going to be a question from the moderators?
Of course
Is there going to be a question that doesn't mention it?
Now,
you're a convicted felon. But how would you handle inflation? Right? It's going to go something like that. Right?
Yeah. And just to reiterate, CNN, which is the first debate, and ABC are not friendly for Trump. But I don't think... I think he likes the challenge. I do.
Yeah. One of the rules that the Biden campaign insisted on was actually why CNN, why ABC, why possibly NBC if there's another one, and why not Fox? So their stipulation was that to qualify to host a debate, you had to have hosted a debate in 2020 for both the candidates. And since the Democrats refused to debate on Fox, Fox didn't have one.
You got to give them credit. That's clever.
Well, yeah, but it's like, we won't go on your show, on your network, and then we're going to hold that against you 4 years down the road.
Okay. Well, let's talk about, we got some very interesting variables.
We do.
Trump wants a pre-debate drug test.
Absolutely.
Now, just for the record, remember, Trump is a major teetotaler.
Yeah.
He doesn't even drink alcohol.
Yeah.
I'm sure he takes an aspirin or Tylenol every now and then, but I mean, and perhaps something
I'm
for blood
guessing
pressure.
Guessing there's got to be some blood pressure in there.
But the real question is, we want to know what Biden's on.
Well, first off, it's shocking that Trump's not a diabetic, right? He just pounds Diet Cokes all day and he's way overweight.
That's true, but I don't think he eats, candy all the time. I think
he's quite fond of McDonald's and
salt.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. Anyway,
we'll
okay.
Anyway.
Why are we okay? Yes. Anyway. Yes.
But why, if anybody out there watched this past State of the Union address, Biden was so high on whatever they gave him.
Yeah.
He screamed for an hour and 45 minutes, pretty much.
Yeah, he did a good job for screaming. Yeah.
Yeah, but he was just jacked up, I think, is a term that everybody's using now. That's the new buzz phrase.
And we don't mean on steroids. We don't know.
Yeah. And I was actually listening this morning to a doctor who's also a congressman who heads the Physicians Caucus in the Congress. And he says, we need a drug test because I was there. I shook his hand. I looked into his eyes and he was jacked up on something.
Yes. Oh, okay.
There's no question about that.
You think Biden would agree to that?
No, not a chance. Unless they did it 3 days before, because, they're shooting him up, I'm sure, that day.
Well, no. I think the only way they would agree to it is if they're a physician, and they would pay off a physician to sign off on it.
Well, but if there's actually a blood test, maybe you might have to prove the results. No.
I think they could
Okay.
have a physician sign off. It'd be so easy to pay a physician under the table for it. So
Yeah, that's
yeah, so
true. That's
easy.
true.
ABC, as we know, this is the
This is
second
another
debate.
variable here,
Yeah, another
right?
variable. This is the second debate. Has a history of cheating, and her name is Donna Brazile.
Yes, she
So
is.
tell us. I remember quite clearly. Tell our audience.
Donna Brazile. In 2016, if you recall, that was the
Trump,
Clinton,
Clinton.
but this was in the primaries.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. It was a
Yeah,
primary
this is
too.
primaries. And who was Hillary's toughest competitor in 2016?
Oh, Bernie.
Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Right.
Do
So
that again.
Bernie Sanders.
See why
Yeah. So
I love him.
the DNC, the Democrat insiders, there was no way in hell they were going to let Bernie Sanders get the
God, no.
nomination over Hillary,
No.
right? So anyway, Donna Brazile at the time was working at ABC as their political strategist, very high profile position,
Yeah, it was, yeah.
and she emailed debate questions to Hillary before the Sanders Clinton
And this is
debate.
not a conspiracy theory.
No,
It's been
she's
proven.
admitted to it.
She's admitted to it.
Greatest
We've
mistake of my life. First, she tried to say, well, I only sent topics.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, there's the Freedom of
The email
Information
came
Act,
out.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there were actually questions.
Word for word, the
So
questions.
you've got a woman who does this. And guess where she still works today?
She still works at ABC.
At the same job at ABC after cheating in an
Yeah.
election, right? Because, you know, democracy, right?
Yeah.
You know, we got to protect it. To me, you know how everybody on the left always says, well, it's white privilege, white male privilege, you know?
Yeah.
This is the epitome of black female Democrat privilege, period.
Oh,
If this
you are
was
going
a
to piss off a lot of people.
white man at a network, say Fox, that leaked information to Trump, actual questions, got caught, you would be out on your cans so fast.
That might
It
be
wouldn't
true.
even, yeah. And she's still there. What are we talking? We're 8 years later, you know, into this. And she still has a job.
Okay. Are we moving on?
Shall we?
Okay.
Let's.
All right. So, before we get to our regular segment this week in Woke, as some of you know, we have two other segments we do as, you know, as stories arrive. Unfortunately, we do not have this week in wins. It was not a winning week.
Yeah,
It
no.
was not a positive
Yeah.
week. But we do have a great this week and what the fuck or WTF. This Apple's going to just mark this as explicit,
Oh,
but that's
yeah.
okay.
All right.
So, our Vice President, our VP, Kamala Harris, was in Michigan last week, promising all kinds of government handouts, which tells you they really are concerned about the Midwest. They are.
Well, yeah, they're trying to buy votes.
Yes.
That's what you're doing.
So what caught Edwards' attention was the Down Payment Toward Equity Act. Would you tell our audience what that
Yeah,
is?
so she announced this is actually something they've been trying to push, and I think who's that nut job congresswoman from California? Maxine Waters is the author of this act. So that ought to tell you
Well, she
something
didn't
right
actually
there.
write it, let's be honest.
Yes, the Down Payment Toward Equity Act aims to, quote, provide down payment assistance to first generation home buyers to address multi-generational inequities in access to home ownership and to narrow and ultimately close the racial home ownership gap in the United States and for other purposes. You can just throw in whatever at the end, right? So it goes like this. If your parents have never owned a home and you want to buy your first home, the government will give you
Oh my God.
$25,000 for the down payment. But of course, you only get this payment if you're not white or Asian, right? You have to be an aggrieved group. Asians are now
White
considered white
adjacent.
adjacent. Yes. So Kamala, Vice President Harris actually said on stage as she was talking to these young people, this was at a college graduation thing, I believe. And she said, the reason we need this, and God, I wish I could do her voice, the
Don't try.
whininess.
Yeah, don't
Yeah,
do your
I can't get
voice.
that nasally.
Yeah.
But the reason that we're doing this is because you people are left out of the generational wealth loop. Because what happens with white kids is their parents who own homes, by the way, all white parents do not own homes.
No.
You know, hat tip there, Kamala.
No.
So all white people that own homes, they take out home equity loans and give them to their kids so that they can have a down payment. And minority kids don't have that advantage. It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
Okay. It may be true in some instances.
Like everything's true in some instances.
But that's my point. Right. It may be true. So no one can call her an outright liar, but it really is this play to buy votes because they are hemorrhaging minority voters.
Yeah.
Big time.
Go to Appalachia and ask how many people own their homes when they're all living in rental mobile homes and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. My gosh. This is, they're trying to buy votes that the minorities are fleeing, right, in droves to Trump. They're talking Trump could get possibly at least 20% of the black vote.
Yeah.
I mean, he needs, if he had, like, I think 14%, that's an easy win there for Trump. And they're talking now 20%. So,
well, people seem to remember that, you know, before COVID, things were going pretty well in the economy for everyone.
They were. Let me give you a little prediction here since you predicted something earlier.
What did I predict earlier?
Something on the debate.
That they won't mute the mics.
They won't mute the mics.
Yeah, that's a minor prediction. There
is a good chance with this giveaway that they're going to get so desperate before the election that Biden's going to say, I will forgive credit card debt.
No.
Oh, guaranteed. No, it won't be for, you know, certain groups. It'll be for only aggrieved groups, you know, that sort of thing. If you're on the spectrum, LGBTQ+Y or whatever, wrong skin color, that sort of thing.
Oh, but watch. That can't happen.
It would not surprise me in the least.
Okay.
All right.
Let's go on. We always like to finish on a happy note. And we see you watching live. We really, really appreciate it. As always, you can interact live, but we understand if you don't want to. We will have other options. Do be sure to go to our email list. I'll mention that again. But let's go to my favorite segment, This Week in Woke. Tell us where you got this one from.
This is from our friend Rosie Jempson at TheExpress.com. TheExpress.com is actually a British publication.
Okay.
Yes.
And read the title.
Headline.
I want to dive in because this is awesome.
Headline. Vets, as in veterinarians,
yeah,
discriminated against my son who identifies as a cat by refusing to treat him. you want to read from the
article?
Oh,
I want to read. Yes, I do. So an American woman, of course,
American.
Went viral online after posting a video explaining her frustration at the vets after they refused to treat her son who identifies as a cat. So the video was posted on TikTok, and we will have a link to this article, which has a link to all these videos. We will have a link in the show notes, but the video posted on TikTok has caused a frenzy among users who claimed the woman's comments were ridiculous. That's one word for them. She seemed to be complaining that even though her son identifies as a cat, the vet refused to treat him because of his human anatomy, which she saw as a form of discrimination. I'm going to say that vet was, we like him. Like, oh my God, or her. Anyway, so the mom said that because her son said he's a cat, he is one and should be treated like one. Okay, who the fuck, sorry, this is supposed to be the week in woke. Who the fuck of a mother sends their child to the vet, unless, like, you know, that was your only option, you lived in a rural area, whatever. I'm not saying vets can't treat people occasionally, but because your son says, you know, he's a cat and he's going meow meow, you take him to a vet?
What? You know, this just dawned on me. This is actually a Seinfeld episode.
It is. Oh my God, it is.
It was. Remember when Kramer got this cough?
Yeah.
He got like kennel cough, which our dog has, by the way.
Yes.
And
it's been fun.
He wanted to go to a vet. Because they can treat a dog, a chicken, a pig, whatever. So anyway, to me, it's like this proves that not everybody should be a parent. Okay.
Oh my God,
right.
Yes.
That's number one.
Right.
Number two, why does she call him her son?
Ooh.
If he identifies and she says he's a cat.
So he's a kitten.
He's a kitten. Yeah. Depending how old he is, he's a kitten.
He's a kitten.
Yes.
So all right, crazy mom out there who's taking your son to the vet, you know, he's not your son, he's a kitten.
Yeah, I mean, in all seriousness, this woman even said that I'm not going to sue them so they don't have to worry.
And it's like, there's no lawsuit.
Just, There would be some idiot lawyer that would take a case, right?
Oh my God, but this is insane.
Come on, people, just stop. You know, stop treating these people like they don't have a mental issue. Yeah. They do. They have a mental issue. If you think your human child, because he says he's a cat, right?
And how old is he again?
They didn't say how old the kid is. Okay. But
all right. Okay. Well, that
could have been a week in WTF.
It could have been. Yeah, so. I got so mad about it. thank you so much. We see you out there for joining us live today. Please follow us on all the social media platforms. And you can join us live on most Sundays at 10 a.m. PST, 1 p.m. EST. We will let you know in advance if we're not live. And we stream live on YouTube, Rumble, LinkedIn, X, and Facebook. If you're listening to the podcast, which always drops the following Monday, that's tomorrow, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast, available wherever you're listening right now. And we are creating our locals community, so please be sure to sign up for our email list by going to myfavoriteconservative.show. You'll see a little pop-up, and I'll ask you to sign up, because we're going to email you not only when a new podcast drops, but also to ask you, what would you like to see in the locals community? That way you could communicate with us directly. We could do sort of a post-show wrap-up, that sort of thing. But we want to know, as we build the community, what you would like to see. So again, please be sure to follow us, rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff on myfavoriteconservative.show.
And if I can just finish up by saying,
yes,
men are men, women are women, humans are humans, we're not animals.
Okay? We're mammals.
We're mammals.
Mammals are animals.
Yes. Well, that's true. But yes, we're not in the animal species of cats, dogs, hippos, whatever. So stay in your lane.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
And we'll be live again. So have a great week. Bye-bye.